Joshua chapter 23. And before we look at the text again, I want you to imagine throughout the course of this practical message tonight that each one of these three aisles, this middle aisle right here, this aisle here by Brother Mike on my left, and the aisle here by Brother Albury on my right, that each one of these three aisles represents a road. They are three different roads, one of which all of us in this room are right now traveling on. And I hope that as you listen throughout tonight's message and looking at tonight's text, that you will diligently search your own heart. Ask God, the Holy Spirit of God, who's here in presence, ask the Lord which of these roads that you have chosen, not just for yourself, but also for your family and those you influence. For example, the first road over here, we will say on my left, this is a road that we're going to call the road of active faith. This over here is a road where people travel who are dedicated. Their faith is very active and they're dedicated to the Lord in serving Him. And as you might imagine, this is the road that Joshua and his family could always be found traveling on. So this particular road is marked by a faith that is committed. It is real. As we noted, it is active and sincere. You'll notice again verse 6, Joshua said, "Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left," verse 8, "but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day." In other words, active faith does not represent a middle-of-the-road Christianity. These are Joshua's final words to the people. They are words of conviction that he wants them to get deep into their hearts. And he says, I want you to be the way you've always been, cleaving. That's a strong word, as you know, in the Old Testament, cleaving to the Lord. In chapter 24, turn ahead a page or two, would you? Notice chapter 24 and verse 14. "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I love that. Joshua did not say, well, you know, we let our children decide if they want to go to church, and we don't believe in forcing religion down their throats. You know, how about forcing children to bathe or go to school? I never heard a parent say that. I've never heard any parent, Christian parent, say, well, we let our kids decide if they go to bed or when they come in at night or what if they're going to eat. We don't believe in forcing these things on our children, you know, as loving parents. We always demand our children do what's best for them, and what's best for them is what's right. And so it's our responsibility to train and nurture them in the admonition of the Lord. And so Joshua says, I've made my choice. I made it a long time ago, by the way, and I've decided, as for me and my home, my children, we will serve the Lord. And that is this road of active faith. But I want you to notice something, because ringing in these final words of old Joshua was a warning. It was a warning that this active faith can become what this road over here represents, and that is an abandoned faith. And you know, that is exactly, precisely what happened. Turn to the book of Judges, would you? Judges chapter 2. And notice verse 8. Judges 2 and verse 8 says, "And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old, and they buried him in the border of his inheritance." Verse 10, "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of the Lord did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them. And they bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger." exactly, precisely what Joshua begged them not to do. Now, I don't know about you, but that's hard for me to imagine. I mean, these were supposed to be God's chosen people, and they were God's people. And for me, it's hard to imagine God's people bowing down and worshiping the idols of Balaam, worthless idols, and doing the debauchery that those idols demanded. But they did do this. And the scripture says, and instead of pleasing God, they provoked the Lord to anger. Verse 14. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of the spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them in the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Now hear me carefully. I have no doubt in my mind that there's not a Christian in this room tonight, not one, who wants their family to fall into idolatry and provoke the Lord to anger. Not one. No Christian here deliberately seeks this kind of faith, that is, abandoned faith. However, I also know that the Apostle John warned Christians to keep themselves from idols. And you know, the idols of Baal are not a common temptation in the American landscape, but you can mark it down. The idols of self and materialism and greed and pride are everywhere. And it is possible for every single one of us to be tempted and deceived by these idols. So the question, beloved, is simply this. How do Christians allow themselves or their institutions to go from the active faith way over here to an abandoned faith way over there? And again, I don't believe that any Christian family or organization, certainly in this room, deliberately, suddenly makes that kind of a decision. Rather, it happens exactly as it did to the nation of Israel, because they, ladies and gentlemen, traveled from this active faith to this abandoned faith by way of another road. What was it? Look at Judges chapter 1. Back up just a chapter in chapter 1, verse 21. And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. Now let me just stop here for a moment. You know, at first glance, that decision doesn't seem like such a big deal. After all, except for this one verse, this one little old verse, you realize that the children of Israel were doing everything exactly, almost exactly, as God had commanded them. But let us remember, and may I remind you, of the precise words of Joshua. Go back to Joshua 23, just a few pages back, and let's read them again. Look at verse 12. Else, if any do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, thorns in your eyes, and you perish, until you perish, from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. You see, folks, even as the children of Israel were exercising and living by their active faith, they were certainly a long way away from abandoned faith, no question. Nevertheless, with this one little decision and not listening with all of their heart, cleaving to the Lord what Joshua told them, they were on a road to this little middle road right here, to an apathetic faith. A faith that represents apathy, lukewarmness, and formalism. Now, beloved, I want you to hear this very, very carefully. Because you know what? It's not easy for a Christian or for an institution to go from here to here. You don't see that happen very often, if ever. It doesn't happen overnight, ever for sure. However, it is much, much easier for a Christian to go from here to here. Much easier. And I want to remind you tonight that once a Christian gets to here, it's not that hard to go over there. So you know what God wants, and this is why God gave these stern commands in His Word. He wants all of us to avoid ever, ever getting to hear, ever. Not as a church, not as a Christian, not as a leader in our families. What the Lord Jesus, this represents what our Lord called lukewarm Christianity. Avoid the middle of the road. Avoid this apathetic faith and stay excited and active and real and committed in your relationship with God. Brother Roloff used to say, the only thing that stands or stays in the middle of the road are dead skunks and yellow lines. The Lord Jesus said, I would that you were either cold or hot, but not lukewarm. No, not this. Not this apathetic faith. Why? Because it is lukewarm Christianity, of disobedient Christianity, that spawns this abandoned, really an awful faith. And how often we've seen this. Over here is Grandpa's faith. It's sincere. It's humble. It's committed. And you know what? Its result is a generation of clean, successful, biblically knowledgeable children. However, some of those children are just a little too knowledgeable in their minds, and so they think that Grandpa's zeal was good for him. Grandpa's commitment was fine then, that's okay, but now, well, you know what? We have to learn to get along a little better with the unsaved in the land. So much so that we will join with them in many endeavors. You have to be accommodating. Maybe compromise a little bit to really enjoy life in American society. Love the Lord, but please don't go overboard. And the truth is, because they lived by most of God's word, these children or grandchildren of Grandpa, because they lived by the majority of the scriptures, they came to church on Sunday morning and sang their hymns. You know what? Their lives were pretty good for the most part. They married Christians. They attended church. They usually obeyed the word of God. But then, here's the problem. Then they had children. And those children grew up in a home not of active faith, but of apathetic faith. So these children now have an apathetic faith, and they're allowed to do what these kids were never, ever allowed to do. You see, that's why I can remember when I was a youth pastor, a youth director in Michigan and in Tennessee, I saw so many examples, especially in Tennessee because of the Bible Belt. I saw so many godly grandparents who had good and decent kids. They were good. They were decent. They weren't nearly as active as their parents. But those grandparents had rotten, rebellious, and godless grandkids. Third generation, I guess you may say. You know, one of the things I tell people about South Florida that we're fortunate, I think, here, we reach a lot of, or we meet a lot of first-generation believers, and these, you know, Christians whose grandparents were not the Joshuas of the Bible. This is not the Bible Belt in this area. But let me just tell you this, whether you're a third generation or a second generation or a first generation believer, whether your parents were Baptists or bank robbers or both, and believe me, they're not mutually exclusive, you still have to do what Joshua did in chapter 24. You have to choose you this day whom you will serve. And whether that service is active or apathetic. And what I'm saying tonight is that those who fall in the apathetic faith road right here, you might be okay, but you are setting your children up. You are all but guaranteeing that the children will be on the road to an abandoned faith. Now, folks, don't misunderstand. Your children will still have to choose what path to take, and they will be responsible for their own actions and their own choices. Adam and Eve had perfect parents, perfect authority. It was God Himself, even a perfect environment. But they rebelled, and they were responsible. But at least God did not put them on the road to rebellion. Apathetic faith, as religious and neat and respectable as it seems to be, it essentially puts the whole next generation on this road to abandon faith. I'll give you an illustration. There are many in the Bible. David. sold out. A man after God's own heart. His son was Solomon. Definitely became an apathetic faith, middle of the road. He enjoyed the blessings of his father's faith. But his son was Rehoboam. Rehoboam, whose rebellion was responsible for the dividing of the kingdom. Oftentimes, I think of the scripture in Psalm 44:1, where the Israelites said, "We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in the days of old." That's a sad verse. You know why? Because in other words, they heard about the words of God. They heard about the works of God, but they themselves never experienced it themselves. Even though God was always saying to them, "I am the Lord thy God, which brought thy fathers out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it." God wanted to be just as real to them as he was to their fathers. You know, God wants to be real, not just realistic. God wants to be known, not just known about. God wants us to come out of a life of compromise here and into a life of commitment. Joshua did not say, "As for my father's house, they serve the Lord," even though that might be partly true. He said, "As for me and my house, we will." As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is the kind of commitment. It's not just private, it's public. It's not just horizontal, it's vertical. It's not just satisfied, it is growing. It's not just going through the motions, it's devotion. It's not just prayers, it's prayer. These people are involved in prayer. These folks say their prayers. These folks never pray. This is the kind of faith that the Lord Jesus is looking for when he comes again. When Jesus comes, will he find faith? That's the kind he's speaking of, active faith. And I don't know about you tonight, but this is where I want to be when he does come. Pastor, what causes a Christian to go from here to here? Since really never, rarely, does any generation or a church or an institution or a family go from there all the way over to there. So what caused them to go from there to here? How does it happen, Pastor? I think it's very simple. Because really, it's the same thing that caused the Israelites and Saul and Solomon and so many others to do it as well. And that is this. Christians who are in this position usually got that way because their parents, or they themselves, based upon their parents, got too big for their spiritual britches, to use my dad's expression. You see, Joshua had to fight for the land. These people simply inherited the land. They didn't need God. David depended upon God for the kingdom. Solomon didn't really depend upon anybody. Eventually, he inherited that kingdom. Saul was great, God said, when he was little, as long as he was little in his own eyes. In other words, you never get so spiritual, beloved, that you don't need church, that you don't need self-examination and conviction and instruction. Remember when you needed to pray? Remember when you felt like you needed and you wanted to read the Bible every single day and you were almost afraid not to? Remember when you wouldn't dream of missing that time in the prayer closet or a Bible study? What happened? I can tell you, it's pride. It's always spiritual pride. You got to the point where, like the children of Israel, you knew about as much about God as anyone else around you. So disobeying the scripture, comparing themselves among themselves, they are not wise. It's a foolish thing to do. You thought you could afford to slack off in your commitment to God. And all I'm saying tonight is that that's exactly how Christians go from there to there. They forget to fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Apathetic faith is a faith that thinks it's spiritual enough to put up and yoke up with just some of the inhabitants of the land. Just, you know, our family is so strong spiritually that we can spend a lot of time with unsaved people. Casual time. And it won't affect us. We don't, the unequal yoke, we don't need to worry too much about that. In other words, too big for their spiritual britches. Now, I reckon tonight that a lot of us here need for the Lord to help us to focus again to living and walking on the right road, this road of active faith. You know, it's not good enough to be on a road that looks good and sounds good and feels good. Throw in some Christian words and songs and a few verses here and there with your children. It's not good enough to be on a road that's just busy with Christianized things. Almost all of the Christian schools that I know of are this right here. And while they're this here, it's only a few years and they're that there. I can name schools like that, even Bible colleges that are over here. They were once fundamental, strong, Bible-preaching, teaching schools. And they were like this. I know some now that are like this. And then I know some that are over here. And if they aren't careful, they'll be over here. In that way, institutions die. The important thing is to be on the right road, because only the right road leads to the right destination. Over at the mall, there's a store that's called Brookstone, and Brookstone is sort of a sharper image. It's one of those stores that everybody likes to go in and walk around and use the massager, but nobody buys anything. You ever notice that? Who wants a $3,000 massaging chair, right? Or get a freebie. They used to have a watch there. Fascinated me. It was a watch that had a little button on the side, and when you pushed the button, it would open the face. It would pop open the face, and when you did that, it revealed underneath that a large compass. And I thought about that thing, and I thought that watch has a great message for me. And the message was, it doesn't matter how busy you are, and it doesn't matter what time it is, and it doesn't matter what your schedule is, if you're not going the right direction, if you're on the wrong road. Beloved, what difference does it make what time it is if we're living on the wrong road? The road to active faith. If you're not on it, get on it. So how long does it take for me to go from anywhere to that road? That long. You know how long it takes to get in the will of God, no matter what you've done, where you've been? It takes a moment. Just a moment. Now, you may not be everywhere you want to be on that road. You may not be as far down that road. But you can be right smack in the middle of God's will in a moment. And it is that moment that you make a decision to be committed, strong, active in your faith. So I say, let's get on it, stay on it, get our family on it, and be diligent to stay there regardless of what people say around us or think, including in so-called Christian churches. Because I'm telling you, there are folks that will say and think, that's not the popular road, Pastor. That's not the road of best-selling Christian books. Or what my colleagues at work think about when they think about Christianity. That's not the road that all the Christians travel on. This is a little more fun, and I'm having a good time with my family and my kids. They're growing up on this road, yes. But do you want your children to be over there? That's the question. Do you want your grandchildren to be over there? And abandoned to faith. This is not the popular road. In most circles, it's not even an acceptable road. But it's the right road. I'm not a big fan of Robert Frost, but I love the one stanza on the poem he called Two Roads. Most of you know it very well. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both. And be one traveler, long I stood and looked down one as far as I could, and where it bent in the undergrowth. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. And it does make all the difference to get on the road less traveled. because the road less traveled has one companion that these cannot lay claim to. And that's the lordship of, our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the road of an active faith. And these days, you know, the Bible talks about a remnant. And you know, God has always, always had a remnant. No matter how dark the days, no matter how much apostasy there was, whether with the nation of Israel or the New Testament church, or the history of the church, God has always, always had a remnant. But that remnant was never on this road. They're on that road. They're active in their faith. God is not just realistic to them. God is real to them. And if you feel yourself traveling over here because of the times we're living in, just make the decision. If your children, your grandchildren think you're wackadoodle, make the decision and get back over there anyway and let them think it. Because these folks over here will really think you're crazy. They always have. But that's okay. You will be accepted in the beloved over there. I hope that as a church, a Bible-believing local New Testament church, one among thousands and thousands and thousands in the world today, we will always hope and pray and choose and decide to be Joshua Christians. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, cleave unto the Lord with all of our strength. Because the woods are full of so-called churches that are either apathetic or abandoned, and both are of no use in advancing the kingdom of God. I hope this church is always active in its faith. I hope, as a father and a grandfather, I am. I hope that as parents and grandparents in this room, we are. I hope teenagers, as young people in this room, you'll make a decision. You don't want to be just middle of the road. You want to make a difference? Look, there are plenty of young people out there that talk about Jesus and sing a song here or two about the Lord and maybe go to Christian concerts and stuff like that, but they are far from the active faith of Joshua. Why don't you choose to be? Father, bless the invitation. Please have your will and your way in our hearts and our lives in this local church. I pray, Father, we'll always be active and faithful, that you will be real to us, that we will not have to pray. Our fathers have told us, we have heard what works you did. But we will be able to know and experience the works that you have done and continue to do, and bringing many sons to glory because of our walk and our testimony and our faith and our giving and our service. We give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.